All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Matthew Barnaby, and you are watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorelia?
Feeling pretty good about yourself?
Not about myself. About our team, yeah. Not about myself.
I thought you were trotting around a little high step here today.
Oh, man, I've been carrying a cup into a couple establishments
there. Whole thing?
Yeah, this whole thing, The old Dunlop's Cup. We were able to finish off the season with a big win. Champs. Got to thank Jim Boucher, Dunlop's, Boucher, you're the man. Letting the boys, have a day with a cup, and I hope he doesn't mind. We've had our names all etched into it. It may be the first time that's been done, but...
Yeah, they'll have to toss a new ring on there next year.
Yeah, they're going to have to. But this thing's great. It sits up in Dunlop's at Hollydale. So thanks to Jim Boucher and Jim Mackey for having us in the league. It's been fun.
It was a fun...
We start up next week.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's quick turnaround.
It's what happens when you go the
quick
distance.
Quick turnaround. Got to throw Foxy's name out there.
MVP.
John Fox, MVP of the game. Hattie, not a big deal. You had a pretty sick goal. Baller would probably throw up there. I had
a
nice fall. First shift.
It was a tough
start. Went to jump the boards.
The
I thought someone, grabbed my foot. No, I just fell and... I can't use my right thumb right now, and then I got slashed in my left one.
Hey, feel free to brace yourself next time you fall.
I didn't think I was going to fall like that. I just went to hop the boards.
We got
to
get that footage.
But it happens. Baller's got it. He'll probably.
He bounced back though.
I couldn't hold my stick with these. I couldn't use my thumb.
Who needs thumbs?
I suck anyway. Obviously, I wasn't any better or worse. I just sucked anyway. So, it was fun, man. The boys and had some clear rum in the room after Big W, and we've got a new sponsor since we won the cup.
They're winners get rewarded, Nas. Winners get rewarded.
If you haven't tried this, you better get out and get it. It's unbelievable. If you're not into other types of the clear rum, which everyone is. But if you're a beer drinker, Garage Beer is the way to go.
Beer-flavored beer.
It is. It's unbelievable. So it was nice. Nice of them. They like champions. They like champions.
Well, who doesn't?
So they wanted to jump on. But honestly, great time. Thanks again to Jim Boucher. You're the man, brother.
Yeah. On to next season.
Yes, which starts next week.
Yep. Quick little turnover.
Little turnaround.
Got a seven-day recovery.
Rest yourself a little bit.
Get back at it.
Get back at it.
What we got going on, Nas?
Well, we got some little bit of bad news here. Well, you know, we're trying to kind of wait to see what's going on. But, you know, Carter, our good friend Carter Hart, asked for a leave of personal reasons, left for a leave of absence from the team, and it was granted. Really can't say too much because we don't know exactly what's going on. So just, you know, kind of leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation going out there, and certainly don't want to be the ones spreading misinformation.
Right,
but,
exactly.
Whatever is happening, you know, we wish everyone the best. And I don't know how this all plays out, but, you know, it's certainly not good for any individual, certainly not good for hockey. But you got to respect his decision to step away for the time being. A few other guys have done the same. It looks like around the league here now. So, you know, Flyers do their press conference this morning and really not showing.
There's nothing really nothing to say.
Nothing really to say. You know, it's not like they're holding anything back because I'm not even sure if the Flyers fully know what's going on. So,
I
guess time will tell and, you know, wish everyone. You know,
the best outcome,
you know, it's unfortunate circumstances, but
it is, really is.
But, you know, the show must go on.
The show's going on, stepping in,
call up Cal Peterson and, you know, the Flyers have dropped the last three, unfortunately.
Of course, because we were so excited last week. We had won, you know, five in a row, but yeah, tough games this week. You know, the Avs, they're really good. You know, you dropped that one 7-4. Losing the center game, you know, actually they're actually playing well. I think in their last six, they're 4-1-1. lost that one. One of the hardest hits I've seen in a long time. Ridly Gregg,
whose dad is
a scout for the Flyers and obviously played here. He hit Risto. He caught Risto around the red line there. And it was funny. I was talking to Claude Giroux after the game. And he said that might be the hardest hit I've ever seen live.
Really?
He said he brought up Richie. He brought up Mike Richards, a couple of his hits. Yeah. And no, Richie. Richie's hits. Richie's hit on Booth.
And
there was another one in the finals too. But Claude said that's probably the hardest I've ever seen a guy get hit.
Bold.
I mean, you saw the hit. It was. Well, Risto jumped right back up, man. Nothing happened. So, anyway, lose that game and then lose to the Lightning last night, 6-3. So, Torts will get him, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if he gave him a day off today, but hopefully he get everything going back in. You know, a couple of injuries, tips out, and obviously with Carter being gone, that's not good. But Sam's going to be carrying the load here, and hopefully we can get back on the winning streak.
Yeah, I think they just need a little pause and reset. I think there's just a lot of emotions, maybe a little fatigue, down a body or two there. It's part of the season, right?
Exactly.
We talked about this last week, right?
Exactly.
It's like the adversity. It's staying healthy. It's just, but I think, you know.
It's hard to play the way they're playing. We've said that. It's a long season, and they show up every night, and it's a tough way to win games the way they have to play with the team. But, you know, a little adversity right now. Let's see how they come back this weekend. So
yeah, that's all you can do.
Cam Atkinson's pretty hot. He's staying hot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Baller said he's got 10 points in his last six games, so hopefully he stays hot.
It's hard to believe a guy like that can go 26 games without a snipe.
It's wild.
I mean,
really
I didn't realize just it was that big of a number, but I mean,
he's around that net. He gets in the dirty area. He does everything. It just you're right, man. It's crazy that he could go that long, but it's nice to see him get hot here. Hopefully, he stays hot and we get some wins going again and be nice. Everybody will be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan. You got to get some guys that been in a little dry spell scoring, you know, for maybe replacing some goals that maybe Tippy's not going to be squeezing in. But yeah, guys go through their droughts. Again, it's hard to believe like a skilled guy, 26 games, like you think just by sheer chance that you'd squeeze one in, but
might bounce off of you.
Yeah, right. A little snake bitten, and
he's back. Let's keep it going, Cam. Yeah, keep it going.
Exactly.
Patrick Waugh.
Did you see that coming?
No.
Hell no.
I did not. One of the best goalies ever.
Mm-hmm.
On the island. New York Islanders, named head coach. I was watching a lot of TV and reading some articles about it and seeing stuff on social media. I guess Lou didn't feel like the team was performing as well as they could. He stepped in there. They got the first win. They're 1-1 since he joined the team. So we'll see what happens there. I think he's a different style of coach. Mm-hmm. I think he's, I don't want to say in your face, but he's very animated on the bench and
highly emotional.
But maybe that's what they need, you know? So they've got goaltending. We know that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It was interesting. I did not see that coming.
No, not at all. But I mean, he's had success in coaching junior and, you know, he's been obviously in the game since he retired and all that good stuff. But I just, you know, you think of Patrick Waugh and you just don't, you can never really see him heading in, you know, the Islanders, but.
Yeah.
I mean, Sweet Lou does his magic, bringing in some emotion.
Yep.
Bringing in a new voice. So we'll see how that plays out.
I will. Pencey.
Oh, Pencey.
Shane Pinto back. He's back.
A little suspy.
As our boy Dave Boreanaz would say, he's back. A little suspy. That was a long one.
He sniped too the other day.
He did. I believe G assisted that snipe, eh, baller? But he's back, so that was probably a long break for him, man. That's just got to be terrible. And you're not hurt either. I mean, it's awful when you're hurt, you're rehabbing, but there's a reason. Well, there was a reason, obviously, but anyway, he's back. You know who else is back?
Yeah, Pear Dogs.
Oh, Pearsy. Corey Perry is back. He signs with the Edmonton Oilers. It's a great pickup. A little more grit for him.
I love it.
14 straight. Yeah. Nob that nobber. He just, every week, I feel like it's been about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like they're on a roll. 14 games, that's amazing. Man. That's unbelievable, but. Good for them, man. I know just in January, they've outscored the teams they played 30-13. And if you look at the issues they have had, and we've talked about it before, everyone talks about it, is the goaltending. Mm-hmm. Is Skinner's on fire,
mm-hmm.
and they've cut back. I mean, I don't know what Chuck's doing there, Chris Knobloch, but they've changed something in their game in the defensive end of the ice, because they're not giving up what they were, what they were before. I was watching last night and it was funny. I'm not sure who was commentating the game, but they were like, back in the day, Grant Fuhr could let six in, but one of the jokes is always like, get me seven, boys, we're good. Yeah, you know, right, like, exactly. And it's not like that anymore. So they're just, man, they're on fire.
Dude. Yeah, you talk about turning that team around. And then again, like adding Perry, it's like a perfect guy to add.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, like, it is.
Obviously, the veteran presence and the grit.
And he can
knows
score.
He can score, he's timely won. Goals. He's won. I like it.
I do too.
I like where they're going.
I would take Corey Perry on my team.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You don't think he's going back to Chicago?
I don't think so.
No.
No. He's in Edmonton now.
Right where he belongs.
Coach Shippy told you.
Phil Kessel was,
Phil was not happy. He wanted to know the intangibles he brings, and he said three cups. I got to talk. I haven't talked to Phil in a while. I got to give Kess a call sometime here.
But he's done.
No, he's overseas playing. Someone's got to get him at the deadline, Riggs.
He's ready.
He told you what his intangibles were with Coach Chippy. Three cups.
How's he doing? Point-wise? Are you check out his hockey DB or what?
Today. Not today. I have not.
Wow.
What's he, 9 points away from 1,000?
Is eight.
He's eight. Is it eight?
In the NHL, yeah.
Great signing for the Oilers, seriously.
Yep.
Like, He knows how to win. He plays the game the right way. He's old school as hell.
He is old school.
So pretty interesting.
Nast, it's that time.
It is?
I would say so.
I think you're right.
I'm excited.
Me too. Can't wait for this one.
Episode 144. Matthew Barnaby.
Matthew Barnaby. Barney.
This guy.
He's not afraid to say what he feels.
Oh, he's not afraid.
And he wasn't afraid to just do whatever he wanted on the ice either, but I enjoyed watching him. Can,
man, just turn turn the game in a millisecond.
Yes, he would.
And I think probably one of the best agitator pests.
100%.
And guy that, not even just a pest, like he would answer the bell
he
eventually.
Did. Exactly.
Like he wouldn't shy away from the biggest, baddest dudes. And yeah, he took his lumps, but it's easy to be a pest and just cower and just turtle. But I mean, as we see, he'd get up and yes. go after these guys. So,
oh yeah,
looking forward to this one.
Can't wait.
144. Here we go.
Let's go.
Before we get to our interview with Matthew Barnaby, here's a little message from our friends at HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep.
You are totally correct, Riggs. And you should be calling me Chef Nast when I'm handling this HelloFresh.
You look good in that apron.
I do.
Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable, as you do, Nast. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit.
Honestly, Riggs, the time you save is unbelievable. It's the nights where you're in a rush and you got to do something quick, and it's so helpful and makes everything easier. You don't have to really plan anything out. You know, you've got a 20-minute window, and you got to get your kids to practice. We got the two kids living here. It makes everything so much easier. It's quick and easy meals. 15-minute recipe, buddy, and it's on the table, and it's delish.
And you look like a champ for preparing it. Each HelloFresh box is packed with farm-fresh ingredients, and everything arrives pre-portioned right to your doorstep for less hassle and less wasted food.
And you know I'm a breakfast guy, right?
You are.
I love breakfast, especially for the kids. Get up, have a nice little brekkie every day, and the boys do too, right before they go to practice.
So, Nas, all we got to do is go to HelloFresh.com/knucklesfree and use code KNUCKLESFREE for free breakfast for life. Can you believe that, Nas? You're a brekkie guy.
I am a brekkie guy, and I do believe it because it's true.
One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/KNUCKLESFREE with code KNUCKLESFREE. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. This week, we are so excited to have this young man with us. Drafted by Buffalo, 1992, fourth round pick, 83rd overall, Riggs. Mm-hmm. Two times this young man led the league in PEMS.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of my favorite players to watch. 14 seasons in the NHL, man. 834 regular season games, 300 points, 2,562 PEMS, baby.
Not bad.
Wore his heart on his sleeve, showed up every night. Mr. Matthew Barnaby. What's up, brother?
I love being called a young man. That is probably my favorite thing about doing like alumni events.
Yeah.
You'll get to see like the 60 and 7-year-old and like yeah. Lanny McDonald will come up to you and be like, hey, kid. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Be with you guys. You guys do an unbelievable job listening to you guys all the time.
Thank you so much. So I got to say this real quick before we get going. I don't know if you remember. But my first year in the league, well, actually, you probably wouldn't remember my first year, but I was with the Flyers, like, right when you were coming up. And I worked the visiting room for a couple of years. So I was always hanging around you and Razor, because you and I are close in age. Actually, I always say I'm around 40, but we know right. I'm not. but, like, you're one of my favorite guys. And it used to drive – I just loved your game. I just loved everything about you. You're always really good to me. And I loved your game, and it would drive our guys nuts because I traveled as well, even though I worked the visiting row. It's kind of like, you know, I traveled as well, and I was like, I just loved the shit you would do on the ice, and you played hard and all that stuff. And obviously, you were tilling it up with guys I can't even believe you were dropping your gloves with the balls on you, were amazing. But guys would be like, stop. Fucking, you're in love with this Barnaby or what, man? I'm like, dude, he's awesome. They're like, he's a fucking dick, man. Because it's just the way you played, obviously. But I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. I wasn't sure because I wasn't called Nasty back then. I didn't get that nickname for a few years later. But
you probably looked like you're 12 years old.
I did. One of the funniest things is Matthew was the first time I met George Babcock. I don't know this guy from Adam, right? Like, I didn't get to meet him when I was in Florida because he didn't travel with Pizza and Rip and Ripper. Because back then, there was only, like, you had a medical and you had your equipment guy. Right. And you didn't have a whole lot of assistance back in the day and when he was, you know, just getting into the league. And so I had to have a guy pick you guys up for me because I was with the team on the road. So the next morning, I'm coming over. It's actually at Hollydale, this practice rink, and you guys had practice. Well, the guy that was supposed to bring, like, the stick tools and the shed, he forgot it. Try to make a long story short. So I get there, and this skinny fucker with a flat top and glasses comes out and goes, "Yo, where the fuck are the stick?" It's just all of my shit. And I'm like, "Hey, man, good morning." Yeah. Like, I don't know him, right? I knew Rip and I knew Pizza. I loved Pizza because my dad and him had kind of come up together, and because my dad was a trainer with the Flyers. And I'm like, looking at him, I'm like, "Are you fucking serious right now?" I'm like, I just got here. I don't know. Did he not bring them? I'll get some. As me and George almost getting a tilly right away. Now this, you know, George anyway, but I just had to say, like, it was so funny the first time I met him. Like, so we laughed about it. Now we still laugh about it. Cause we were like getting ready to fucking chuck him. But, sorry for that long story. Okay. What are you up to these days, brother?
Yeah. Just going back on George, what a beauty when he came to us and he'd do anything to fire us up. We'd draw during playoffs, like a bullseye on his back. And literally go around the room. And he goes, "How bad do you want it?" And everyone would slap him as hard as they could in the bullseye. And he'd literally have like a welt that thick from hands. Like, just the craziest bastard. Were you there in 96 when I destroyed the room, me and Razor?
Yes.
We got the big fine for breaking the TVs. And
I was... there was a size 8 skate in the TV, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go.
Yeah. George says he's like, "I hear this crash." He's telling me the story. "I hear this crash," and all of a sudden I hear Matthew go, "George, something's wrong with the TV." And he walks in.
Skate right through it.
Wow.
That's wild. Impressive. Times. Love. I've said it before many a times. As much as I hated Philly and Philly hated me, there's no other place that I would have rather played, man. What a great fan base. I know they're hard. I know they're emotional, passionate, but when you play like we did, like there's no better place. There's no better place to go.
Yeah. It's surprising you never landed up.
I have it written down just to say, like, you would have been so loved here. Like everybody, like, you know, Matthew, you're like, you're the guy everyone loved to hate, but when you got on their team, you know, you see that a lot, but I mean, if you would have played here in Philly, man, dude, you would have owned the city, 100%.
I'm doing it again March 8th for the Flyers alumni. They do that Friday night fight.
Are you coming back?
So I'm coming back again this year.
Oh, sweet. I'll see you there.
It was great, man. It was awesome. And I remember just the first time I'm like, listen, I wanted to be booed when I came in and I had to apologize to a lot of guys and said, a lot of you guys probably just got married in the last 10 years, but I guarantee some of your girls were at the Continental back in the day. So.
That's
right. Second in market. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great, man.
That's great. Yeah. We watched at least like 10 of your tillies just against the Flyers this morning.
I said to Riley, I mean, he was an undersized guy, even though he weighed 226, 162, 220, but, you know, he's fighting these guys.
Yeah.
265 pounds. You did the same. I said, you know, you're not going to remember this, but I remember shooting a shit with you and Razor and you were like, "I'll fight that big 88. I'll fight him. I don't care." And I'm like, "Ooh," and you did.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, you fought all the big ones. And 87 first year. Like, I mean, crazy.
That time. And like, I played at 190, maybe 192 was my max. There's some big guys, and listen, I guarantee out of those 10, I lost all 10, but it was just what we did. We did what we did to make a living, to get where we wanted to be. I mean, we dreamed of this as kids, and the way we were going to do it wasn't by scoring 50 like Pat LaFontaine or some of the other stars. So you do anything you do have success. And I think that's what the brotherhood really is. When you see each other and you might have hated each other when you played, it's the first guy you reach out to and you're like, man, I love you. Keep up the awesome work, whatever you're doing now. And everyone just has mad respect. It's crazy. Like Stu Grimson and Kelly Chase and some of my best friends now, and the stuff, the shit I used to tell them about their families. And
yeah,
I know, right?
It's the weirdest fucking thing. Like the Grim Reaper, I see him now and he's like, hey, sweet boy. Like, I'm like, how's your kids? I'm like, this guy used to tell me he was going to fucking rip my ears right off my face. And now I'm like, I get a text after Friday night fights. He's like, hey, sweet boy, just want you to know I love you. Stay safe. I'm like,
that's awesome, man.
What the fuck world do we live in?
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Well, yeah. you said it, though, the respect.
Yeah,
man.
It's exactly like that.
It's deserved. Well deserved as yeah. well. So what are you up to these days? I know you have your podcast.
Yeah. Podcast. You want to plug that? I travel a lot. I travel probably too much. Me and my wife are always seems like we're somewhere. Actually, next week, and I head to Finland probably to see my son. He plays hockey over there, and my daughter's a flight attendant, so I get to meet her along the way and travel. And I was working with a betting company, but that just ended because of regulations that they have in Ontario. So I'm big into the betting industry. Yeah, besides that, public speaking, events, and a lot of travel, and trying to keep this body from falling apart.
Yeah, as we all are, right?
Yeah,
joys of getting older.
Your son Matthew, bit of a sniper.
Yeah, complete polar opposite players. He's 6'3", skilled center. He's got a mouth as bad, if not worse, than me.
Okay.
Yeah, doesn't have the jam like the way that I played the game, but I didn't have what he has. So he's forging his own thing, and there's nothing better than seeing your kid play hockey and follow his dreams. And even though it's cold and the food is shitty in Finland, he's having a great time. He said, Tinder in Finland is much better than Fort Wayne.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm sure.
As a quick question about that, too, because we had some questions earlier that we had to answer about your kids growing up. Was it something you had to, like, talk to him about because, you know, you were a certain type of player? Did you see in him there's more skill or, you know, be your own player, basically, is what I'm asking. Is that
He was born in 98, and it was still a tough league back then, but you could start to see that it was going a different way. And I loved what I did. Riley, we loved what we did and how we did and the accolades and the fans chanting your name. Awesome. It's not what you want for your kids.
That's right.
Right.
What we do for ourselves is completely different than what we would want for our kids. We want them to have a better life. So it's not what I wanted to have him deal with every single day. And he was a skilled player, but he just had more skills. So we really emphasized on skill work since he was very, very young. And like I said, love watching him play. And I've seen him fight a couple of times. Never really got nervous in a fight. I got nervous like in the pregame naps and, you know, sweating and knowing, you know, is he a lefty? Is he righty? You know, going to break my jaw tonight, whatever it may be. And you're preparing for it, right? So that those nerves happen there. Once I got into a game, I was never nervous. Watching your son fight and take a punch, ugh. Your heart comes out like you want to cry.
Yeah,
watching your kid do it. So I'm glad he's a skill player.
Yeah, no doubt. A little different perspective. And then building on that, I wanted to ask you, like, we kind of like only knew what we knew and did what we had to do, right? I mean, you were fighting in juniors. You had 4 years of clearly over 200 pims a year. And like, how early did you realize you had to be this guy, this character?
Yeah, I was a skilled guy growing up. I was a smaller guy until I was. And I say smaller. I was really small. Like at 15, I was like 5'2", 112 pounds. I was tiny. I didn't hit puberty till I was literally almost 17. So I went to junior. I was drafted last overall in the Quebec League. And after 2 days, I was like, fuck, these guys are bigger. They're stronger. They're faster. I think I have as much skill, but I can't do anything out there. And I told my brother and my mom, you know, don't come to training camp. I'm probably going to get cut any day or so. My brother didn't mean for me to fight or do anything. He just said, do something to stand out. And it really resonated. And the next day I was like sitting on the bench. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to get all I have. I'm going to get cut. And the next 2 days, I fought like 13 times and lost.
No shit.
Yeah. Like,
Jesus.
Like, got killed. I mean, I got beat up. I went after the biggest guy. The guy's name was Guy Lefebvre. It'll never, ever forget his name. And the coach came up to me after day two. He's like, dude, you do not have to. You've proven you want to be here. He goes, you might not be in the lineup every single night, but we were an expansion team. And he goes, we want that kind of character. So you might not play every night. You might not play a lot. It is what it is. And I played every game. I didn't play a lot in my first year. Had like 252 PIMs. Then the next year he made me assistant captain. And then I was on a draft list for the NHL, which would just blew my mind because I thought I was going to get cut the year before. And I had 476 minutes that year. So it was like, you know, a culmination of things. And it just really worked out that, you know, like when you have a coach that believes in you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so much more, and the confidence just grows. And because of Alain Chiney, the coach that I had in Quebec City, my confidence just grew. And then my body started, you know, my first year was 148 pounds in junior, second year 165, then 170. And the stronger you get for kids out there, you know, work on your skills, and you never know when you're going to grow, but just get stronger. And that's where the confidence comes from.
Yeah, yeah. No, that sounds like Marty Biron's draft weight.
He was
saying those low weights. I'm like, wow, that's pretty light.
Hey, weirdest guy to see naked, though. He's like 112 pounds, and he's got a hammer.
Yeah, I just saw Marty last week. We were in Buffalo. My son played in a tournament there. My son's only 9, and unfortunately, okay, he's a goalie. Which is not what I wanted, but he loves it. But I got to see Marty was on air, and he goes, I said, where are you? He goes, I have to do intermissions, and then I'm fine. And I said, well, okay, we'll come around and see you real quick. Because he saw like a post that one of our guys that does our social media posted. Yeah, yeah. That I was there with my son. So Marty goes, you're here and you don't call me? And I said, bro, I said, I figured you were working. So he actually came up to our section and hung out in between. Cool. And people were walking by. And, you know, Marty, you can't even get a word in. When Marty, he's like, tell me, and he's animated, and he's got the makeup on. I said, look at you. What do you cut your hair, man? But it was good to see Marty. But you're right.
There's no guy in the world that can't speak English, and he won't shut up.
That's the truth.
He loves it.
Like, I love
it. He loves it. But yeah,
he was awesome.
I just wanted to go back to your junior hockey career there. So, you know, obviously you're an emotionally charged guy. You really weren't like that at all before you decided to take on that role?
I would say I was an instigator. Like, I've always had the personality of, like, trying to get under my buddy's skin and joking them and antagonistic. But I just didn't have any body frame, nor did I think. And, we were all the best player on our teams growing
right.
up, right? Like, we all scored 150 points in Pee Wee. Like, everyone did that.
Yeah.
But I was always antagonistic, and it's always been part of my personality. It's still my personality. I love when my friends rip me. I love ripping my friends, all in good fun. But no, I wasn't a fighter growing up at all. It was literally a new identity was born after my third day of junior.
Wow. That's crazy. And he just took it to a whole nother level. I mean, I was saying to Nasty, like, I don't think there was like a bigger pest agitator to ever awesome. Play the game. I mean, man. Like, you really owned that.
You literally, I feel like, you changed games, man, because you would get guys so rattled, and like I said, our guys would like get me like that fucker's smiling and shit. And I'm like, and it's working.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
course.
Working because
I haven't got a hand job like this. Since my wife last week. This is good for my confidence.
Just boost you up a little. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Just give me a little side one. You always want to try to affect a game, whether it's through a fight or score a goal. You want to have a positive impact on your team. And for me, like, yeah, I could fight, but sometimes it's not that I wouldn't fight, but I wanted to piss people off so much and go after Lindros or whoever it may be, or go after a star player where the tough way would come after me and then punch me. And I would turtle, and people would say, oh, you were turtle. I'm like, I was just trying to set up a power play for our team to score. And then I would have no problem with fighting the guy later on. But if I could positively affect the game by drawing a penalty and I score a goal, then I felt like I did my job, because right. I might not win the fight. And especially if you're in another team's building and you're in Philadelphia, the last thing you want to do is give them momentum,
right,
by losing a fight early in the game. Now, sometimes it had to happen, whatever it may be. And I always felt obligation if I turtled and we drew a penalty and we scored. Listen, I pulled my teeth out. I had fake teeth when Carey Fraser during the playoffs and pulled it out because I got high-sticked. And I tried that same thing like the next game, but we scored in overtime. It was just a funny, funny sequence. But you're always trying to be a difference maker, however that may be. And in Philadelphia, it just seemed like the perfect spot every time.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, I remember some of my teammates, and I don't want to bring their names into it because they weren't the toughest, but they would be like, hey, don't start anything tonight. And they were like, I play with two pretty skilled guys at the time. And I like, don't say that.
don't tell me that.
Doubling down. Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah,
we're getting there going. And they'd be like, oh no, just grabbing on the seatbelts are wild on. And it's funny because I've become really good friends with Rick Tocchet now. And we had 5-on-5 brawls with them during the playoffs. And
yeah,
just so many great memories of going into Philadelphia. Just awesome.
Yeah.
Your debut, you guys have something in common. I don't know if you know this. His first game, it worked out perfect. Puck comes around, Sean Hill, and he just beelines and great hit, leads to him getting a fight. Your first fight was against Sean Hill.
Yeah.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Did you ask him? How'd that all come about? Like, did you just go after him?
Yeah, it was my first game. I got called up from Ottawa. We didn't have the Ottawa Senators back then, so Montreal was my favorite team growing up. And I think the big thing coming out of junior, and even though, like, Brashear was there, Gino Ogic, it was a tough, tough league. But when you go to the NHL and guys do this for a living, at my size, I don't know if everyone believed that I would still be the same kind of player or shy away, because it happens to some guys. They fight in junior and they come up and they just don't want to do it anymore against real men that are doing it for hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars. So when we were playing Montreal, there was no doubt that I was getting in a fight in my first game. It right. was going to happen whether we were up, whether we were down. And I just went after him. He kind of cross-checked me a little. I kind of cross-checked. It wasn't much of a fight at all, but it was something that I had to do. And then our next game was against Philadelphia.
Ryan McGill.
Ryan McGill. And kind of holding on. He headbutted me at the end of it, but it was it was funny. Yeah, I was fighting in every game that I got into that season to start, just so they knew. Like, or at least because it was at the end of the year, I was called up from junior when we got knocked out. I just wanted to, like, set a standard that I would be tough to cut the next year, essentially.
Right, right. Yeah, because Gilly ended up, he was tossed for intent to injure from the headbutt. I actually remember that. I actually saw Gilly. He's an assistant coach now with the Devils. Yeah. I had a couple beers with him a few weeks ago.
Great guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's a good dude. I remember one time, Matthew, we were struggling. It was my first year here in Philly. Philly. It was 94-95. It was the half season. And it was before Gilly got traded to Edmonton, and we had a tough start, and he and Hexy were the only two guys left after practice. They were just finishing up, and Gilly's like walking out the door and he stops. He goes, "Hey Hex, let's get something fucking going tomorrow night." And then they both did, you know, Hexy probably slashed on, and then Gilly came flying in and all that. But he's a really good guy. He was he did everything he could to help the team, and he used to chuck them quite a bit. So,
yes. Speaking of goalies, I mean, you had your fair share of goalie fights.
Hey, the ones I won.
Bullshit.
I should have had a few more fights with goalies. It was great. And yeah, Sean Burke was always one of those guys. He was a lot like Hexty. He'd love to get in it. He'd love to throw the blocker. Snowy, I had fought. That's probably the thing I get asked about the most is the snow fight. And, you know, I'd fought him the year before when he was at Cornwall in the minors.
Oh, yeah.
Or a couple of years before. And I just remember being on the ice, and I got hit pretty hard. Like, I had the wind knocked out of me when I got cross-checked. I think it was Sean Antoski that had hit me.
Yep.
And then
yep.
Brad May came in like frig Jimmy Snooker, man. Top rope. On. And you always know who's out there with you. You know who's out there on the other team, as you had to be prepared every time you went on the ice. And I was laying there, and I was a little hurt, but I wasn't that hurt. And pizza comes onto the ice, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, it looks like there's like a 5-on-5 going on out. I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to lay here for a bit because I know Snowy's going to come over. I said, just be ready. He's going to come over. He's going to either say something or he's going to do something. And within 5 seconds, he comes over and just kind of jabs.
Tickles your armpit there, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even know what he said. I'm guessing he called me a pussy or something like that, whatever.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, why do you call guys like pussies? Like that's like, you know how tough a pussy is? Like the beating a pussy can take and a human comes out of the thing. Like if someone calls me a pussy now, I'm like, yeah, I'm tough. I got it. Well, that shit gets beaten to hell.
Oh like, my God. Like,
beaten to hell. So I just said, be prepared. I'm going to jump up and I'm going to fucking throttle him. Like I'm going to unleash because no one can come in. And like I knew it, he comes in and gave him a pretty good.
Yeah. Licking.
Cuts. And then Brenda Moore comes in like he should. And then we fight and strong as can be, not the best fighter in the world, right. But a great, great teammate, probably a Hall of Famer. But yeah, it was just a big start to the rivalry, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's crazy. I got to bring pizza up one more time and tell you this real quick. So my first year I'm in Florida, him and my dad have known each other, right? So pizza's like just super nice to me and Ripper, but like I'm hanging, we're in Miami because the Panthers played in Miami. So we're down there all day and pizza's like talked to me. So he says, hey, who you guys got down there? And you know, pizza's the guy I told you about would make the robes.
Oh, the robes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
Don King, man.
Yeah, Don King, this guy. So listen to what he does to me. I'm 20, I just out of college. I just finished college. I'm 22. It's my first year. Yeah, I've been around the game because of my dad, but I lived in North Carolina, so I was back and forth. It wasn't like I was there every day. So pizza says to me, like, who you guys got over there? And I'm like, it's like, we got Paul Laws is pretty tough. He fights a bit and he was really tough actually.
Yeah.
And we had Brent Severn, but I think I don't know if Seve was there yet. Cause it was pretty early. But anyway, he goes, you think, Laos could take, Mayday? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Like, I guess we'll see if they go. So fast forward a couple hours, I hear this Michael Jackson music just blaring. And I know, bro. So I love Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And me and Ray Emery, by the way, the first time he came to Philly, like when he first joined the team, we had a dance off that night.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson dance off. Cause I can dance like Michael, believe it or not. Anyway, I hear this Michael Jackson music playing and it's in the arena and I'm down in the Panthers locker room and I can hear this. It's blaring. So I like start following the music and I'm going to your guys' locker room and you guys are all napping, whatever lunch. This guy's like walking and doing his Michael Jackson hand. And I'm I walk in right away. I give the kick and he goes, oh, you want some of this? So him and I are having a dance off in the Sabres locker room. But we just start laughing. And then that's when he asked me about Laos and everything. So fast forward, the boys come in, having their coffee, getting their sticks ready. He goes, hey, he goes, Sudsy. Cause my dad's nickname is Sudsy. A lot of the older guys call me that as well. He goes, Sudsy, come here. And it's Razor's in there and Brad May, right? So he goes, why don't you tell Brad May here what you said earlier? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you said that Lousin kicked the shit out of him. I said, well, and so Brad's like looking at me like he's mad. And, I'm new. Like, yeah, this is like my first year. Like, and I'm like,
assassin.
Oh, shit. And I'm like, well, he goes, did you say it? I said, well, I said, I think he could probably take you. And he goes, it's okay, brother. I'm like shitting myself. And Razor standing there staring at me, too. And then they all start laughing. Yeah. I'm like, fuck you guys, man.
We had a fucking disco ball in our training room.
Oh, for pizza?
Yeah. Oh, Michael Jackson was playing all the time.
All the time.
He'd always do that. He'd come back. He'd come back with the game sheet. And he'd be like, Barney, you got McGrattan or you got Peter Worrell, Razor, you got Laos. And he'd be like, all right. And like, and he's like, well, it's not done. He goes, who do you got in the second period?
Come on.
I'm like, you have the best job in the world.
Oh,
like,
my
you're just
God.
Setting up fights.
That's so
he
good.
Did do that. He was awesome, though.
You have the robe as well? Locker
room? So I did get the robe. It was actually a Sports Illustrated issue with how I was going to get the robe. But yeah, he gave it the other, I think Pat LaFontaine might've got one that wasn't a fighter, and Dominic Hasek got one, for obviously all the reasons that his stats are pretty incredible. But yeah, it was a big thing in the room, and guys would wear it around, and
yeah,
it was pretty awesome. Yeah.
I remember seeing those. I was a real quick question. You know, you wore 36 here. Were you assigned that, or was that a number you picked?
No, I was just training camp number.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then when I came up at the end of the year, they gave me 36, and I wore 14 in junior, but I wore 9 growing up.
Okay.
And 9 wasn't taken. Well, 14 was ended Dave Hannon, but it ended up being retired. And then 9 became available. A guy named Victor Gordiuk, who was a really skilled Russian kid, and he didn't make the team the next year. And Pizza came to me, goes, 9's available if you want. And I was like, I'll take 9. And then I slept on it that night. I'm like, you know what? Like, a bunch of people had already bought my jerseys.
Yeah.
I'm like, why am I going to change to 9? I'll wear 36, and just stuck. So it's one of those crazy numbers. I never would have picked 36. Never wanted my son to wear 36. And my son always wore 9 growing up, or 89, okay. 91. And he always said, like, I want you to form your own identity. And I'm like, you know, it's pretty cool. Like 3 + 6 = 9. 9's yeah. The thing. And it's a skill number. So he's always been 9 if he can get it. 91 cool. This year. But yeah, just assigned to me.
Yeah. I just wonder, because, you know, sometimes some guys like a weird, like a different number that you wouldn't normally.
You rocked
that
it well.
I got it fucking tattooed all over my fucking
body. Yeah.
That's a little awesome. Reminder. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I think this goes back to maybe a year ago or maybe two, a little riff you had online with, I guess, Sean Avery. What happened there? And I think you were, you know, challenging him to maybe sign a contract. You wanted to sign a contract at the coast. And
yeah.
What came up?
I was laying in bed. He's a guy I've never met in my life.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But I've heard a lot of bad things about him from trainers, the way he treats them, and we've played in some of the same places, but I've never played with him, never met him, challenged him to a fight on the ice a bunch of times, this and that. I've said some nasty things to him that he alluded to, I guess, in his book, which I haven't read. But I'm laying in bed, it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm watching like Law and Order, my wife's sleeping on my chest, and I'm just strolling through Twitter with my left hand and rubbing her head, trying to get a little more, but it didn't work. And I'm scrolling through, and I'm like, Sean Avery signs with the Orlando Solar Bears. And I just tapped my wife. I'm like, going back to playing hockey. And she kind of wakes up. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm going back, and I will sign for free with any of these teams for 2 games. But it has to be at our home rink, and I'm sure we'll sell out the stadium, and we'll donate the money to charity. So I sent this out. I tweeted out. I said, anyone in the Southeast Division wants to sign me, it has to be 2 games at home against Orlando coming up. Da, da, da. She's like, you haven't skated in like a year and a half. I'm like, fuck, give me a week. I said, I'm not going to be playing a regular shift.
Yeah.
I just got to throw some bombs.
Yeah.
And I go, I just can't do it this week because I'm going to Cancun. Yeah, right. But sorry, I had talked to like 3 or 4 teams, and probably would have got something done with one of them, but he went for 2 days and obviously was cut. But I would have loved one last chance to get at him. And then I challenged him to a rough and rowdy too. Like,
yeah, I remember fighting. That.
Yeah, he's not fighting.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he would have taken you up on that challenge. It looks like he's been doing some jiu-jitsu, a little grappling. So I thought maybe, you know, like, what's he got to lose? I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but
if we're going to do MMA, I probably need a year.
Yeah. MMA is a little different now.
Speaking of books, you just said his. You had a book come out 2022, if I'm not mistaken. Unfiltered. It's available on Amazon.
Yes. Jeffrey Bezos has absolutely everything. everything. It was cool. I always wanted to write a book, and through COVID, I finally had the time. It takes a lot of time to sit there and get your words. And I had a ghostwriter for about half of it. And then I wrote half of it by myself. Obviously a lot of spelling and punctuation I needed some help with when it was all said and done by the editors, but it was therapeutic. It was fun. I also wanted to like to clear up a lot of things. Like, I got in a fight in Nashville in a bar, and I just wanted people to hear my side of the story. The media, a lot of times, they're right, but a lot of times they don't get the whole story. And and you know, the one thing that sucks when you're in the media, and I've made some mistakes, and I own up to all my mistakes, and you know, it was almost an apology to my kid for some of the things that I've done as well. But you don't always get the full story. And writing a book, I was able to tell my side of the story, even when I was wrong, why things happened. And it was just a lot of fun. It was tough. It was the hardest thing I've had to do, but it was therapeutic and fun. And I would never do it again. It's a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time.
Sure.
But I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, I like that you made the point around, like, maybe resolving, you know, question marks around stories, especially for your children. Like, you want to be truthful, and you want to, like, you obviously want to teach them the lessons you can teach, and maybe help them avoid mistakes that you made. Like, how much of that, I mean, because again, like, you were an animated character guy, and like, your personality naturally would rub off on your children to some degree, but there's obviously, like, you've matured. And like, I mean, how does those conversations go as you're essentially raising one hockey player in that culture that we live in? But like that boundary of like respect and, you know, all the other good stuff.
I would just, if I could say anything to any parent out there, just be honest with them.
Yeah.
And we all make mistakes. There's no perfect person in this world. And if you make a mistake, hey, just own up to it and move on and find a way around it. So there is a chapter in the book where I, you know, say this book literally is for them, and I've made mistakes, and but love you as a dad. You're my greatest pride and joy. I would trade the money. I would trade the so-called fame or notoriety to be your dad, and that'll never change. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them, and they know that. And I, you know, along the way through that, there's a lot of funny stories in the book of being on the road and, you know, getting drunk inside of Chicago hotel, which is one of the nicest in the league, and shitting your pants because you got roofied, you think, by someone, and you're naked coming up to the counter, like stuff like that. And
yeah,
fun nights I had with different guys. Not that any of these, like, I would never ever sewer any of my friends. So the book starts out essentially, Law and Order is my favorite show. I said that earlier, and it literally starts out, a lot of the places and people's names have changed, but the story is true. Dun, dun, dun.
It's so funny you say that, because I was in it for 27 years. So obviously, you know, I was so lucky to be in it that long and to be around the boys and you guys always. It's just a thing in hockey where we were treated like gold from, you know, 95% of players, and you guys always looked after us. So we go out and, you know, you can tell your buddy's stories, but like, they're like, you should tell that one. I'm like, yeah, can't. I can't. Because you can't throw guys under the bus. Yes, I could write a book. Fucking.
Oh, yeah.
5,000. You could, too. Oh, yeah. Like 5,000 pages long. But I'm like, it's just shit. You can't do it. Hey,
I'm just one player you met along the way, and you probably brought me 14, 24 packs of Coors Light onto the bus. Like, The stuff you tell, like, I can tell my buddies, and I know it's going nowhere, but even when I do, like, these events, I tell funny stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm never, like, 95% of the shit, like, a normal, like, I'm going to say normal person, like, your accountant or your lawyer.
Yeah.
They can't comprehend.
Yes.
The story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this exactly. is made up. I'm like, dude, This is the
PG. Yeah, I was gonna say.
I was gonna say, like, you know, like, sitting in our men's league, we play men's league together. You know, like, guys are always asking questions, or we get into a story just because someone mentions a guy, and I'm like, oh my god. So, you know, tell the story, like you said, and they're like, no fucking way. I'm like, boys, like, trust me, it's real.
You'll love this. We know Jim McKenzie is known for the biggest dick in the NHL history, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, the guy's got a hedgehog. I don't know Jim McKenzie for the life of me. I've never met him. I've never fought him. He was a monster. He was super tough. 2 years ago, and I'm going next week to Mike Keane's event in Winnipeg. I finally meet Jim McKenzie. And he's heard this, I'm sure, a million times from different guys. I shake his hand. I give him a hug. He's like, hey, Matt, nice to meet you. I'm like, hey, Jim, nice to meet you. I go, is it that big? And he's like, it is. And then Mike Keane's like, it is.
You can vouch. Yeah.
So the weekend goes along. I play my last game with my team, and I grab my little overnight kit. I throw the towel over my shoulder, and I'm walking down. My team goes, where are you going? I go, I got to see it. And Jim just finished his last game. I go, I walk into his room. Like, what are you? I said, me and Jimmy were showering. He's like, are you serious? He goes, you're fucked up. I go, hey, I've heard about this for 25 years.
Yep.
I go, get in the shower. So he gets in the shower. I go to take my towel off. I'm like, he's like, where are you going? I go, I'm not showering beside that.
Water's a little cold. He's
just an awesome guy. It's just, it is not a myth. That is a legend.
It's true. Mark Gregg played in Hartford with him, and it came up one day, and he goes, boys, you just don't, you can't understand it. It's just not normal. It's not normal.
No. It's really humbling.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's great.
Man.
You know, I just thought of something. I was talking to Jory. I was in Buffalo last week. I think your rookie year, you play in an MSG and you go to put your clothes on, and I think they were hanging in the rafters or something, and you had to go get it.
It was actually like one of my, I was called up at the end of the year when we had played Jersey. The first time I was called up, I was in the minors. I was up and down my whole first year pro, and I got called up for playoffs, and it was in Jersey at the old Continental Center. Whatever it was. So Black Aces, I'm skating, even though I'm part of the team, I'm skating with the Black Aces after just to stay in shape. So I'm skating, and I see all the team just looking up and laughing. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So I look up, and the highest point in the building, there's my pants hanging, and Pat LaFontaine had paid the guy like $100 to go put it up. Took me like an hour and a half after practice to go get my stuff. And
oh my God,
but payback's always a bitch. Tenfold.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
And you know what, people would be like, oh my God, weren't you mad? I'm like, dude, like, they wouldn't do it if they didn't appreciate that I was on the team. Like, I would never do something like that unless I love the guy. I'm not going to do it to a kid that can't handle it, or
it made me
feel part of the team, which was
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we're the complete opposite. Maybe we're the ones that are fucked up. But to me, that's, it was like, oh my God, that's hazing. I'm like, that's not hazing. Hazing is taking a broomstick and doing shit and
yeah,
like really taking a guy down or abusing him. This was fun. It was fun, and it really was like, oh my God, these guys think enough of me to make a joke. Like,
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah,
I'll cut your shoelaces. I'll cut your dress shirts. I'll take a shit in your shoe. I'm okay.
Yeah.
One of my favorite pranks. We were in Chicago at Christmas. Marty Lapointe was my roommate, and we had a Christmas party, like December 21st, whatever it was. And Chicago's were like, it was a restaurant, and the other half was like separated with like just a clothing store. And it was women's clothing. Me and Marty were like, oh, let's do a joke. We're drunk. We're like, let's go. So we come in. We got like these crop top shirts and skirts. And we're dancing on the dance floor with the wives. And they're having a great time, whatever. So Todd Simpson and Jimmy Dow, these guys go into our locker and steal all our clothes. So now we're leaving at night.
Oh,
and it's fucking cold. Like, we got no jacket, no nothing. So we're driving home, get stopped by the cops. He's like, my wife's driving, and he's like, why aren't you wearing clothes? And we're like, oh, Chicago Blackhawks, we had a Christmas party, they stole our clothes. He's like, oh, good prank, whatever.
So yeah.
Me and Marty the next day, I'm like, Marty, like, we got to get him back. So we jump off the ice early, tell the coach, hey, we got to get off the ice. Get off the ice. We take everyone's fucking clothes, the whole team. We take the equipment van, because we aren't playing for a week. We throw it all in there. We got their wallets, their cell phones, their keys,
my God,
everything. We park it like a mile behind the school. They can't find their keys. Now, some people have doctor's appointments. Some people got to pick their kids up. They got to go get groceries. They got this and that. We go home. We open up a couple bottles of wine at the house. And you've seen the movie Seven, where they piece together like all
Cryptic.
Mm-hmm. And we just get there early, and we leave it right in the middle of like all the clues on where to get it. Took them 3 days to find their fucking stuff.
Their wives were so sour with us.
Oh my God.
3 days, that's, no keys, no wallet, no cell phone.
Oh man, how are they with that?
Yeah, I know.
Not good. Not good, but me and Marty were the two toughest on the team, so it was okay.
Yeah. Oh wow.
That's great.
That would be something. Oh. Yeah. Something tells me you're probably up to those little tricks all the time. You know, knowing how you played. Yeah, you gotta have fun, you gotta keep it loose.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
The joy of going to the rink.
It's such a long, like, it's a fun year, but it's a long year, you know. Yeah. There's, especially when you get into January and February after that All-Star break, and then you get revitalized in March when playoffs start coming again. Like, there's points in the year you just get so excited about Christmas to see you spend time with your family and get a little break, All-Star break, and it's a long year. It's a long year, and I just think levity and people having fun, or something like when I went to Colorado with Sakic and Adam Foote, like these guys had a great time. But when you're ready to play, like you better be ready to play.
Better be ready.
Like
to play,
yeah. Go out as much as you want, but do not bring the team. If you bring the team down, you're going to be gone. Like you're going to be gone. So do what you have to do, whatever that is. But when it comes time to play the game, man, leave it all out there.
Yeah. No, that's a great philosophy, old school philosophy.
Yeah, it's old school. Yeah, you're right. And this was a good day. I hate sounding like an old fuck, but it was just so much fun back.
I know.
It was just so much fun. And even up to, I've been out, 3 years now? It was still fun. Like we were, I've been known to do a few pranks.
Yes, you have.
Like to scare people. But anyway, I was going to ask you about coaches. You had Torts as an assistant, I believe. How did you like Torts? I mean, that's been a long time ago, but
yeah.
How did you like Torts?
You know what? Torts is a great guy. He's the only guy that's ever told me that he likes dogs more than humans.
He does.
I actually had him as a coach in Tampa.
And that's right.
He's one of the smartest coaches I've ever had. We didn't get along per se. We didn't fight. He just didn't think I could play in the league. And they had just signed me to a 3-year deal worth pretty good money at the time. And I just didn't play. I was playing like 3 to 6 minutes a night. It was hard. And I just moved to Tampa. I just got traded there, just built a house. But he didn't play me. He didn't play me. And I said, well, will you trade me? He goes, just go ask the GM. He goes, yeah. He goes, you're not, I just don't think you can skate well enough to play here. And the one thing I always say, I respect him because most people wouldn't be honest. Most coaches give you the runaround. Torch was very, very honest. And he's hard to play for. He's really hard to play for. But he demands a lot. He demands you play the right way. I think sometimes he goes about it the wrong way. But I really like what he's done in Philadelphia. And I have nothing but respect for him in the fact that he was honest with me. I got traded to New York literally a week later. And I had 3 of the best years of my life. And one of my first goals was against Tampa. And I went by the bench and I literally gave him the finger. And I go, can't fucking play no more, eh?
I'm sure he loved that.
He was great, though. He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. You got to appreciate the honesty. I think that's what we talk to guys with the Flyers now. It's like the first thing that they say. You know where you stand with them. And I think as a player, that's all you really want. You just want to know where you stand so you can adjust and deal with your situation versus being like in the dark and you know how it goes. It's like you get confused and the emotions kick in and it gets
squirrely. You will never not know where you stand.
With him. Ever. Right.
Yeah.
You're right. So speaking of coaches, who did you have a favorite? Like, or did you have a couple that were, right there together?
Ted Nolan, he loved my style. So like in junior, that guy that gives you that opportunity and believes in you, you're always going to have loyalty to him. He was just great. You knew where he stood with him. And if you worked hard, he was going to take the guy that worked hard over the skill every day of the week.
Yeah.
And we had a great goaltender in Dom. So we kind of had that mentality to be the hardest working team in the league. And he was just, again, a very honest person, very loyal from where he's come from. I also like Dave Tippett a lot.
Oh yeah, I heard good things about him.
Yeah, like he's very stern, he's very tough, but he knew when to have fun with the guys and he knew when to pull the reins back. I really liked him. I was only there for a year and I was hurt like 3/4 of the way through it. I wish I had more time with him, but probably the most structured coach that I ever played for in Dallas. So, yeah, I'd say those two.
Cool.
And then as far as, like, these coaches that you had, obviously you're an emotional guy, and they know what what you're going to bring, right? They always know what you're how you're going to play and the energy you're going to bring. But, like, any of them ever, like, you know, like, you know, Barney, just like tone it down, or are they just like kind of free for all? Like, as long as you're playing within the boundaries of a respectful game, in the sense of, like, not putting the team down, all that stuff, you're fine.
Yeah, I'd say no one ever said it to me, but a guy like Kevin Constantine didn't like my style of game. Torts didn't like at the time my game. But I say Kevin Constantine subconsciously didn't even want me on the team. And that happens sometimes. A GM trades for a player, and I was traded for Stu Barnes, who was a skilled guy. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Constantine just wanted no part of giving me any ice time. And I just got traded there. And I was like, what the fuck did I just do? I asked to get traded, and I had a great thing in Buffalo. I had scored 19 goals the year before, had a great playoff run the year before. I had like 13 points in 15 games. And now I'm going to play in like 6 minutes again.
Yeah.
So subconsciously it happened, but no coach ever told me to tone it down. I think the good ones, like Teddy Nolan, wanted me to play. When I went to New York, they wanted me to play, and the other stuff wasn't the forefront. That was the second part. Whereas the other, when I went to Tampa, I felt like all I could do was fight. When I went to Pittsburgh, and when coach changed and Herb Brooks came in, he was like, I want you to play. And then I took off and started scoring again.
Yeah.
And if you look at this, is, I think, the biggest part of my career, when people say, oh, why didn't you score in Tampa? Or why didn't you score in Pittsburgh at the start? Why did you score 13 points in 15 games when you went to Colorado? Or sorry, 9-13. Why did you have 19 goals in Buffalo? Or in New York, you had 16 and 40 points, whatever it was. I'm like, look at all those teams. I was 190 pounds. When I played in Buffalo for 6 years, I had Brad May. I had Rob Ray. Yeah. I had Doug Huda. I had Gord Donnelly. I didn't have to fight the heavyweights. Now, if I wanted to fight Ty Domi, I'd go fight. But I didn't feel the pressure before the game started to go fight Donald Brashear,
right,
or you, or any of the big guys out there. When I got traded to Pittsburgh, I was the only one that fought.
Yeah.
And before the game started and Stu Grimson came on the ice, I know I have to fight him, or I feel the pressure to fight him. So when you're always, you can't concentrate on hockey. Then I go to Tampa, I'm the only guy. Then I go to New York. Well, we got Chris Simon. We got Dale Puritan.
You're right.
Steve McKenna. I don't have to do it again. Now I can concentrate on playing hockey. And if I want to fight, then I'll fight. Same thing when I go to Colorado. Peter Worrell, Jim Cummins, Bob Bugner. We have a plethora of guys, so I don't have to be the only guy. I can concentrate on hockey. So that protection layer of letting me play, my best years were because I had guys that were tougher than me that were willing to do it as well.
Yeah, that's great insight. Yeah, I never had the luxury of of being able to go out there and try and play hockey. So I know what you're talking about when you're kind of the guy, the Lone Ranger, if you will, and I mean, how hard it is to actually focus on playing on hockey. It's like, I'm trying to focus and prepare to play hockey, but I'm also worrying about, you know, Brashear, this guy. And it's like, God, I'm like, it's anxiety.
It's tough to play hockey when you're looking over your shoulder the whole time.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, but no, it's good insight. And the average fan probably doesn't even look at that or understand that the psychology in that, because God, it's a different world when you're sitting there, well, before the game, the night before the game, and sitting on the bench, and like, it's all you can think of.
Yeah.
It's like a terrifying feeling almost, you know.
Pre-game naps. I still can't, I'm 50 years old. I still can't nap.
Really? Hey,
I associate my naps of laying there and rolling around going, oh my, okay. So you're going to hit me with the left, or is he going to switch up? Yeah, am I gonna do it right away? Am I gonna like all the things, as you know, run through your mind. So when I lay down, I just roll around, and that's why I was always the first guy at the rink. I was there 3.5 hours early because I was like, I'd lay there and I'm just now. When I got to the rink, I was fine.
Yeah,
but because I got to talk to my trainers and I sit and have a coffee and bullshit, and they take my mind off it. But when you're laying in a bed and it's pitch silent and you're beside your roommate, and the only fucking thing going through your mind is a fight. I try to tell people that have never been in a fight, it would be like, you see the movie where the kid's getting in a fight in grade 9 or 10 and the whole school's waiting for it.
Yeah.
And all they do is look at the clock.
Yeah.
And it's like one minute, and a second goes by, it feels like a minute. Well, we did that 82 times a year. Not once.
Not once.
Every time we did it, it was stepped on the ice. That was what we associated with.
That's it.
Yeah, Craig Berube's known him since I was a kid. He's a really good friend of mine and Riley's. And he I think it was the first time he was on, we were kind of talking about, you know, the preparation part. And, you know, Chief was a really tough guy. And he said, yeah, try taking a pregame nap in Detroit. And, you know, you got Probert and Koser. He says he goes right out, fights Proby. And he's like, I did well. And I'm like, fuck, hey, you know, I did well there. Sits down. Knock on the glass, looks up Koser. I'm next. He's like, oh, for fuck's sakes. And he says, well, I forget where they were playing somewhere. And Keenan, you know, Mike Keenan's his coach. And he says, hey, I'm going to fucking scratch Brownie tonight. And Chief just goes, why? What the fuck? Why? Yeah. Don't. Please don't. Because they were playing maybe in Detroit again. And he's like, I got to fight all these animals by myself. So I could just, obviously Riley and I have been really good friends for a long time. And I just, the coffee and the suities. Just to kind of keep your mind off of it. It's got to be so hard. You're right. People don't understand.
Yeah.
I didn't play against Brownie for that long, but my rookie year, we were playing in the Spectrum. And I remember Rob Ray's like, fuck, this guy's tough. And I was like, I know. I've watched hockey a long time. And he gets out there, and finally, Rob gets the better of Brownie. And I'm already in the penalty box. And I'm high fiving. I'm like, you just fucking beat Dave Brown. And he goes, sit the fuck down and don't high five me. I'm like, why? He goes, I got to go home again in 5 minutes. And they came and Brownie kicked the shit right out of him.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a whole other animal, too. Hey, it's like you're only as good as your last fight. And like to all your points there, it's like you get you fight first shift or first period. It's like it's not over.
It's
like not back looking then, around,
you know, bobbing and weaving. How is this going to play out?
I want to say it was it the 04 or it was 01 playoffs when we had the 5-on-5 brawl with Philly when I was in Pitt.
Oh yeah.
Tyler Wright, myself, Rennie Corbet. I ended up fighting Chief. Richardson fought Corbet and killed him. But I was kind of like with Berube, Chief, and we were going back and forth, and he was trying to get loose. We were just throwing little ones, whatever. And I was like, looked away, and he kind of looked, and I gave him like a left. It was a muffin. But he lost his balance. So it looked like I one punched him because the camera from ESPN wasn't like totally on him. And I'm on top of him. And he gets up in the next game. He's like, we're going again. I go, I am never fighting you again. They go, I am 1-0. Or at least everyone thinks that it would drive him fucking nuts.
Oh, give him shit.
Oh, yeah, right. You skate off with the belt.
Got a fucking belt.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, love that one. You know, we were talking about this earlier. Unfortunately, you know, you basically retired with, you know, probably some concussion issues, and Riley does a lot of work with that. I don't know if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, no, just curious on how that played out and how you dealt with it, and if you're still feeling any residuals from all the fights, but maybe the way you went out as well.
Yeah, it's always hard to go out not on your own terms, but you know, in the end, I wanted to be a dad more than a hockey player, And that was important to me. And in consulting with neurologists and a special one in Dr. Levy from Buffalo, we went through hundreds of fights. And the way I had to fight because of my size, I had to take a lot of punches to get in a few. And that was just the reality of the size of the guys that we fought. So I took a lot of punches, you know, for every, you know, between junior and NHL and AHL, I had over 400 fights. So let's say you take minimum 5 punches in each of those fights. It's a lot of fucking punches, yeah. Blows to the head. Mm-hmm. It was tough at the start. I had some bad times in my last year, just, you know, very depressed and crying for no reason. I felt like I was menopausal. But now I probably get a headache more than the normal person. I think you're more apt when you drink to make bad decisions even more than the normal person. I don't think it all clicks at all the times, but everyday life, I have no problems. Just, I would say, headaches and memory loss. Now, I don't know if that's just getting older or a combination of both those things, but you can ask me something from 1993, I'll give it to you. You asked me to go get steak and salmon at the grocery store, I could be coming back with lube and toilet paper. Like, I don't know. It's Russian roulette when the wife sends me to the grocery store.
Your short-term memory. I'm glad you're doing good, and that's, you know, because you hear a lot of really dark stories with some of these guys, and I do a lot of work with concussion, TBI related stuff, mental health related stuff. So if there's anything I could do to help you, I mean, the plant medicine stuff, it's really been helpful for me. I mean, I was similar. I took a shitload of blows too, you know, to throw a few, and it takes its toll, and I can relate for sure. So I'm glad you're doing well.
There's nothing worse though for all of us. Anytime something bad happens, and sometimes very tragic, to guys that did what we did, because you can connect the dots, right?
Yeah.
You can connect and how it can become a downward spiral very quick. It should just get sad, and we get it. People that aren't in that world or that realm, they're like, oh, what a loser. This guy did this, or this guy was like, no, that guy was a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good guy. Just had some demons, and it might've been just reciprocal because of what he did, how he did it. And a lot of things go into that people don't know.
That's right. Yeah. I got to ask you, you know, like obviously you embodied the role as well as anybody. In fact, probably above and beyond, you know, I did a version of that, and all these guys have done it, right? You're embodying not just being a hockey player, but this fighter, right? How hard was it for you when you transitioned out of the game, like this character that you'd created for yourself, and kind of navigating with purpose? Do you have any issues with that?
Nope, not at all. People will say, like, I'm completely different off the ice. I like to have fun and joke around, but listen, if I'm in Slovakia and no one knows who I am, I'm never going to tell them that I played hockey for a living.
Right.
I'm Matthew from Ottawa, Ontario. And if they figure it out, like, I'm more than happy to talk hockey and whatever, but I don't identify as a hockey player. I don't identify as a cat, because I guess that's kind of cool now, but I don't identify as a hockey player. I identify as a father and a person. So it wasn't hard to change that mantra. And it was actually kind of refreshing. Now, when I go to Friday night fights, do I love reminiscing about old stories? Absolutely. Does it give me a little boost energy when you watch an old fight, and or when I go there in Philadelphia March 8th, that the fans cheer? No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And it gives you that short glimpse of a memory of what a life used to be like.
Yeah.
Without having to take the punches anymore, which is nice.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And I asked that question because I know that a lot of guys do struggle with that identity piece. I mean, even guys that aren't fighters still struggle with, like, you've embodied the hockey player. That's all you know, right? So all of a sudden it's like no more locker room, no more, you know, camaraderie and all that.
I miss the locker room, and I guess my friends now fill my locker room, and I get a chance through a lot of events that I do and travel around playing hockey events for charity, and I get to see a lot of these guys. So I still get that a bunch of times of the year. It's what I miss the most, certainly. And maybe because I got into media working with ESPN and TSN right out of the gate. So I think I had that ego fluffing, maybe that I stepped right out and I went right from being NHL player to get my ego fluffed. Oh, I saw you on TV last night. So maybe that's why that I never had that missing, or why it was never hard to transition out of the game. But certainly my friends let me know I'm not even a very good hockey player anymore.
You playing any men's league?
No,
you're done completely.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
Guys, you're still going to have that identity. You're always going to have someone's younger that wants to try it. Just like in a bar, there's guys that just try to be punks. There's always going to be that person. So no, I can't do that.
I hear you. I've spent the last 13 years navigating that, and I've settled in, you know, a B men's league where I can cruise
it's
around.
An A and
oh,
B.
Is it A? All right. Sorry. Or yeah, I could be a skill guy, you know, take a mushroom or a little cannabis before I can just be a skill guy. And, you know, except for we had a championship game the other day. I almost got into it.
Hey, it was so funny. Like, I'm like watching him. I'm like, oh, the eyes are starting to start twirl a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was more just, you know, I had to go puff the chest out just a little bit, but it really wasn't going to do anything. But I can imagine if a guy like yourself with the identity that you created for yourself, that you'd have a target on your back no matter what league you played in.
No chance. That's why I love the charity events. It's all for fun. Yeah. I literally go at 25%.
Yeah.
I never take a shot on goal. No.
Well, I saw the other day you had a Travis Kelce shirt on. Pulling against the Bills. What's that all about?
Well, I'm a massive, massive New York Jets fan. So
I did know that. I've seen you in your jersey before.
So there's not much to talk about the New York Jets, except for 39 years, they've disappointed me. It's like, it's not good. So I have a bet with one of my good friends. He's a Bills fan, start of the year. Loser of the two teams combination of score, if they tied because they both won one game, Bills won. Loser has to take, you guys know Chefs in Buffalo, famous restaurant.
Yes.
Always busy. So I have to take a blow up doll out to lunch while everyone else around me gets to watch. That's our bet. And her name is Jetta. So we're working on that. The second part of the bet was if the Jets or the Bills got to the Super Bowl. You didn't have to win it, but you had to win the AFC. The other guy has to get the other logo of the team tattooed on their body.
Wow.
Oh.
I have lots of tattoos. It's not that big, but I don't really want a Bills tattoo.
Sneak it in there.
So I was going to try to find, but it had to be 3 inches by 3 inches. So it's going to take up a lot of space. Like, it's a big tattoo.
Yeah right.
So I was all KC. And I came into a party of 50 people, KC, Blair and Taylor Swift doing the tomahawk chop.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to be the asshole. I love playing the villain. So, and if they lost, I was going to buy a Lamar jersey and Zeke Flowers. Like we were going Flower. We were going all out. So I'm very happy the Bills lost. I'm sad for Buffalo. They deserve a championship team, but not while I got a tattoo bet on it.
Yeah, I hear you. And wide right again. These poor guys.
I was chanting
man.
It before
oh,
it
God.
Happened.
No, you weren't. Oh,
oh
my God.
Yeah. I was up chanting wide right, wide right, wide right. My wife doesn't really know sports. She's like, what's wide right? And it went wide right. And they're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, so I explained it to her. She goes, you really are an asshole.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're into the betting scene. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who do you got winning it?
Oh, man. San Fran's tough. I think Baltimore wins next week. I think they beat KC. But San Fran's going to be tough. The only thing is Brock Purdy's has been awesome. But if it's tied late, very close late, I'd probably go Baltimore. And Lamar's been that good this year. He's the MVP. He threw for 152 yards last week and had 100 yards rushing. Like, he's going to get 100 yards rushing anytime he wants.
Yeah,
that's the toughest thing about stopping him. So if they can stop McCaffrey, and both sides have so many weapons, I don't see Baltimore losing next week. I I think they're far superior team. If there's a year that you can beat KC, this is the year. And Detroit's been a great story. I don't see them beating beating San Fran, but man, what a great story they've been. And Dan Campbell, what a great coach.
Yeah, it has been. Also, we had a while to go here. Who's your pick for NHL to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Wow, it would have been Vegas at the start of the year. They're not playing great right now. There's a lot of injuries. I'd probably still stick with Vegas. Colorado, I like a lot. A lot of surprise teams this year.
Like,
no one picked Vancouver or Winnipeg to be doing what they're doing. No one picked Philadelphia to be in the situation that they're in. And there's so much parity, and so much comes down to staying healthy. But, you know, if I put a gun to my head right now, I'm on Colorado or Vegas if they are healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solid choices.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, Barney, we appreciate you, man. This has been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, really appreciate the time, man. Yeah, this has been fun.
We'll see you March 8th for sure.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll see you there, man. Looking forward to hearing some stories.
It'll be a lot of fun. We'll definitely hook up, and such a great event. The Flyers alumni. I was throwing it out there. I was like, I'll even stay an extra couple days and do the Wives Carnival. You can get a dunk tank and just to donate some money back to the Wives Carnival. So I'm excited to see you guys in person.
Yeah, man.
Keep up the awesome work, guys. I love it.
You do the same, man. And seriously, thank you so much for your time, brother.
Hey, cheers, boys.
Big thank you to Matthew Barnaby for hopping on.
What a character,
man.
Oh,
my gosh.
Dude, I remember the first time I saw him play, and I'm like, this guy's out of fucking control. And I love it. We talked about it, like, we were almost the same age. Actually, he's probably 10 years older than me. I'm kidding. But we were kind of the same age, and every time we'd just kind of, I was working the visiting room, like I said, and he was just awesome. Yeah. Funny guy, man. Just always, but an annoying motherfucker to play against.
Oh my gosh.
But he was, like we said, man, if he would have played here in Philly, like, everybody hated him in Philly, and I know why.
Sure.
Right? But if he would have played here, he would have had the place going nuts with some of his antics.
Oh, yeah.
But he played a long time, man. But, for sure, thanks to him, man, for joining us.
100%. I don't think there's a bigger pest ever.
He might be the best pest ever. You're right.
Like, you talk about poking the hornet's nest. I mean, he was the champ.
He did not care, man.
Oh, well. But, I appreciate him hopping on.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sharing some stories, some laughs, and wish him the best.
Yes, sir.
All right, Nast.
Is it that time?
It's that time.
Oh, it's that time for Clear Rum Questions. Brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com/shop. Type in the code RIGS, NASTY2023, and get 35% off at MPA only.
Beauty.
Let's do it.
All right.
Starting us off, we got Mike Pohl over on Twitter. Aside from our guy Riles, which player are you looking forward to seeing this upcoming alumni game?
Well, always looking forward to seeing my boy Riles, and I get to play with him, old Skillsy Poo. Richie, my boy, Rick Bone, man.
I'm excited to see that,
too. I talked to him the other day. He's like, I gotta get some skates in, boy.
Get some reps in.
Yeah, because, he may not be playing. I didn't ask him the other day when I talked to him, but he plays men's league
goalie.
Goalie. So he said he needed to get himself, in a little bit of shape, better shape, I guess. But he's fishing all the time. He's down in Florida, but he'll be here tomorrow. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Rick Bone play.
Oh, yeah,
me
too.
And the ovation I think he deserves and will get.
Oh, definitely. Maybe we'll see a shift or two from him.
I don't think the Bruins want to see the shift, especially the hit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to see everyone. But Richie, especially seeing him back in a Flyers uniform, I think it's so cool. Yeah. I'm so happy he decided to come play.
Yeah,
man.
I think it'll be some emotions with
him. He was
with
born too. To be a Flyer.
For sure.
You know, it's just like Tony D'Angelo said to us that day, that guy's a hockey 100%. Player. He was a hockey player to me. He's my favorite player.
Yeah.
Scotty Lawton, same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing Rick Bone.
Yeah, me too.
Great question.
Mm-hmm.
Hoagie Mouth 1 over on Twitter. Love the story, boys. Do you think it will benefit the culture to get the boys back to Rexy's since I live 5 blocks away, LOL?
Is Rexy's still open?
It must be.
It must be, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I have
that it. That was like a landmark of stories.
My God. Dude, when I was in Florida with the Panthers and we came in, I think it was the second time we came in, we had an extra day, and Clark, he made the, but we took a bus over to Rexy's and dinner in there. It was pretty cool because I had been there when I was a kid because my old man would take me sometimes. But I don't know if they'll bring that back. The guys these days, it's a
little different establishments.
They go different places. And it's also different because they're fed really well post game. You know, so it's not like they have to go eat dinner. They eat dinner after the game in the building, and then they go on their way.
That's it.
But that's a great question, though, just because Rexy's, what a spot.
Yeah, I think it was mandatory that you show
up
there,
Mandy.
Too. Yeah. You had no choice.
It was Mandy Moore, buddy.
Yeah, Mandy Moore.
It was Mandy Moore.
Over on Instagram, Lester Weeb wants to know, how'd you get the nickname Nasty?
Ooh.
I got daughters, you know, like, I can say this, you know, I've been known to say crazy things here and there, I guess. And, Mark Gregg's the one that gave me, the nickname Nasty. Guys called
Perfect
me
name.
Like D Nice. And then one day I may have saw like a woman or something walking by. And I think I said something. Just like a guy would, normal guy thing. And he was like, Jesus, you're nasty, man. He's like, we call you D Nasty instead of, you know, D or D Nice. So that's basically how I got the nickname. And it literally was immediate. All the guys are laughing and it's like Nasty from then on. And I was like, what, 99? Actually, oh, wow. Yeah, somewhere around there, 98.
I'm not sure if I heard that story before. Nasty.
Yeah, he was the one. He was the one that did it.
I thought you had that way before that.
I didn't, because, you know, it was funny, like, when I first started in Florida, and then even with the Flyers, like, in Florida, my nickname was JR, because Sudsy Jr., and a couple guys called me Bubbles, and I'm like, I'm not going to be called Bubbles, because Sudsy.
Yeah, Bubbles,
we can't do that, but they did it to irritate me, but most guys called me JR, and when I came here, if my dad wasn't in the room, they'd be like, Suds, they'd call me that. And then once we went to the Phantoms, that's when that whole thing came about. But,
It's a great story.
Mark Gregg, yeah, it's not that great of a story, but it's a good question. I get asked all the time. Matty Cord asked me one time on the radio. I was jumping on with him, and he's like, how'd you get that name? But the girls were, like, young, and I was like, I have two daughters, and they might be listening. So, that's kind of how I got it.
Phil Mikulski over on Instagram. What's the best advice for parents/kids that are just starting the ice hockey journey now?
Well, I guess it depends on the age, right? What I've learned in the last 3 years, and Riley, you do a lot of learn to play, so you could probably answer better than I can as far as, well, I've coached too. I coached for a couple of years with Elvis when he first started, but just let the kids have fun.
Yep, that's exactly
the
what I
was going to say. And I'm guilty sometimes. Like, I find myself in the car going over the game, and hey, what do you got to do? You know, top of the blue, you know, like, don't drop just to drive, you know. And then I'm like, dude, he's 9 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows what to do. And you just want him to have fun, really, because I've seen and you hear, you've probably seen it and heard it in rinks, some of the parents, you know, they have joke, like, funny commercials about it, like a dad banging on. That's real. It happens, man. And you feel bad for the kids because you may deter them from wanting to play.
That's it.
And that's what I try not, you know, I try to, like, I can't remember who told me, but they said, I always wait 24 hours before I even talk about the game. And by then, usually you kind of almost forgot about it. Unless it's like, great, he played great, you know, like, but there's something, you know, I think he did wrong. I want to show him I wait a day. That's why I video all the time. I probably look like a psycho standing there videoing. But I just say, like, let the kids have fun, man. That's the main thing. And what are the percentages of kids making? It's great to dream, right? Like, to make it. Every kid, you know, would love to play in NHL, but we know it's not going to happen. But just let them have fun. That's my advice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game. You have to allow them to have fun and just support them. I think to what you're saying there is – it's easy to get all excited and, you know, overcoach them and put that extra pressure on. I think the best thing you do is just like pat them on the back and support them. Yes, there could be some coaching as they evolve a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a lot of the mental health issues that kids struggle with is not only their own, the pressure they put on themselves, but the pressure that the parents put on, right? I mean, it's unfortunate that some parents just go crazy with it. Yeah. And, you know, the kids unfortunately suffering. So got to have fun, support them. You know, it's got to be enjoyable. It is a game. And then until you get to a point where it's no longer fun, you might want to reconsider, because no matter what level you're playing at, it is still a game and there has to be an element of fun.
I'm pretty sure my son, Elvis, I don't think he knows what pressure is, because during the game he's baller. He could throw that clip up there like he did before.
He's humping just the dance post.
He didn't hump the post. Yeah, I will not allow that again. Jeez, and we're not posting that one. We do have it on video. There's a video file of it. Instead of just thanking it, all the moms start yelling, and he turns and he let's not even go there.
He's grateful.
This is a PG.
showing his gratitude.
He's showing his gratitude, yeah. But yeah, he dances around, and I love that. And you know, it's funny because Sudsy, my dad, is like, he needs to be fucked. I'm like, dude, he's nine.
Yeah.
Dad, he's nine. I know, but like, he's prancing around, then he lets a goal and he looks stupid. I'm like, he's not care. If he's having fun, man, that's all I care about, you know?
Yeah, he'll get to a point where the coach eventually will take a little more seriously. Yeah, I think it'll be like, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But if he keeps it loose, like...
Hey, right, exactly.
I really don't care.
Exactly.
But that's a great question, because it really is important for parents to let their kids have fun and you know, let it evolve.
Yeah, great questions. And that's a wrap, Nass.
That's it. I can't believe it. 124?
124, 144. Where you been sleeping?
That's a wrap. You're right, Riggs. It's a wrap. 144.
It's a wrap. In the books.
In the books. 144. Can you believe it?
I cannot.
I can't believe you said 124.
I can't believe it. I can't believe this trophy's here between us.
Yeah, well, we talked about this. I guess we got to return it. We had our day with a cup.
Yep.
Pass it around. Thanks again, Jim Boucher, Dunlops, at Hollydale. What a cup.
Oh.
I hope he's not mad that we had everyone's name
carved it
in there. So sorry about that, Jim.
Hope they get a new ring next year.
Yeah, he might have to add a ring. I can't wait to see what Jim pulls out for our rings. The league and Mr. Mackey, Jim Mackey there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming we're going to get some really cool rings.
I would think so.
You would think.
Yeah, that kind of effort.
Yeah.
That kind of performance.
For me, I mean, both my thumbs are broken, but we're good. All right.
Until next week for 145, be sure to subscribe, tune in, like our stuff, comment, questions, all that good stuff.
Yes.
Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.